the threefold witness of the resurrection. There was never a doubt in Paul's mind that the resurrection of Christ was the greatest witness to who Jesus was, what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and what Jesus was going to do when He comes again in glory. There was no doubt in his mind about the proof of that, because there was no doubt in his mind that he had met the risen Savior. When we studied through Acts together, we saw in Acts chapter 9 how Paul had literally met the risen Savior on the road to Damascus as he appeared before him. And so as Paul is writing this letter to the Roman Christians, and he writes so much and expands and expounds the gospel of Christ throughout this book, we need to understand this morning that this letter is not just a letter of theology. That this letter is literally a letter from the heart of Paul about his own personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel in his life. There was no doubt in his mind that Jesus had rose from the dead, because he had met him and his life had been forever changed. Saul was on the road to Damascus. He was heading that way to kill Christians, to beat Christians, to put Christians in prison. He was religious. He was zealous. He thought he was serving God. But he met Jesus that day. He was blinded by the light. He fell before Him in His resurrection power and glory. And he came to recognize that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ had came and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and that Jesus Christ was coming again someday, and there was only one way to be ready to meet Him, and that was through saving faith in Him and repentance of sin. You see, Paul was forever convinced of the truth of the message of the gospel, and he was forever convinced of the transforming power of the gospel because of the difference that he made in his life. In Corinthians, he said, "If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and you are yet in your sins." If Christ did not rise from the dead, folks, we'd have nothing to preach about or to praise about or to sing about this morning. We'd have no forgiveness. We'd have no hope of heaven or eternal life if Jesus did not rise from the grave on Easter Sunday morning. Amen. The message of the gospel of Christ is the foundation of Christianity, and it rises and it falls on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. This morning, I want you to see with me in just this one verse, just for a few moments, I want us to think about the threefold witness of the resurrection. What does it declare unto us? Well, Paul says he's declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. This morning, the first witness of the resurrection is this: the resurrection exalts Christ. It declares Him to be the Son of God with power. Power. It's the greatest witness of the humanity and of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that our Lord Jesus, His entering into this world and His departure from this world is marked by both natural and supernatural events that declared Him to be the Son of God with power? At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a Savior. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born in Bethlehem's manger to Mary, just like every man and woman is born into this world. It was a physical birth. He was a man, fully man, but yet He was born of a virgin. She'd not known a man. What was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. God had inhabited her womb and entered into this world as a part of His creation. You see, it testified to His humanity. It was a natural birth, but it was also a supernatural birth. It was a testimony to His deity. When our Lord Jesus left this world and departed from this world in this life, it was also marked by a natural and a supernatural event. Jesus died on the cross the death that we die physically. But as He died, He was dying for the sin of the world. He was dying as our substitute. The wrath of God was being placed upon Him. He was paying the price and penalty for our sins. It was a natural death. He died. He was buried. And yet it was a supernatural event in that He, as the Son of God, 3 days later, got up out of the grave in resurrection power and glory. 40 days later, He ascended into heaven to sit back down at the Father's right hand. Folks, I declare to you this morning that one of the greatest witnesses to the humanity and deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the dead, it declares Jesus to be the Son of God with power. Folks, His power to raise the dead declares Him to be the Son of God with power. As we look throughout the gospel records, you know there were several occasions as recorded where Jesus raised the dead. He raised a young girl from the dead. He raised a son that was born to the son that had died, a widow's son, and raised him from the dead. But one of the most memorable events was the time that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Martha and Mary's brother, a family that He was intimate in friendship with and spent much time with, He raised Lazarus from the dead. John records it in his gospel as one of the great evidences that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, when Jesus had, when He came to the tomb, and when He told them to roll away the stone, and they said, "Oh no, we can't do that. He's been dead 4 days and He's already stinking." Jesus' response revealed that He was the Son of God. Listen to what He prayed in response to them. In John 11, verse 41 through 44, it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me.' And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Do you hear that, folks? Jesus prayed to God the Father that those around Him would know that He was the Son of God. And when Jesus said for Lazarus to come forth, and Lazarus came forth from the grave alive and well in resurrection power, it was declared that Jesus was the Son of God. In other words, everything He said to Martha and Mary previously to that moment was clarified and revealed as true. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, He said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Man, when He came forth from the grave, Lazarus came forth, they had no excuse whatsoever not to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God with power. But folks, I want to declare to you this morning that His power to raise the dead was not the only thing that declared Him to be the Son of God. It was His personal resurrection from the dead that declared Him to be the Son of God. When Jesus got up from the grave on Easter Sunday morning, it was a declaration from heaven that Jesus was the Son of God. You remember in Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus said many things. And one of the things He said was this: "I have the power to lay My life down, and I have the power to raise it up again." In John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, John records where Jesus says, "Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I may take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Folks, there's only three explanations for why a man would say such a thing as that. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord, the true Son of God. Folks, if Jesus died and was buried and never rose from the grave, that would mean he was a liar who just said he was the Son of God, or he was a lunatic who thought he was the Son of God. But when Jesus got out of the grave on Easter Sunday morning, it was a declaration from heaven that he's not a liar, he's not a lunatic, he's Lord, he's the Son of God, risen in resurrection power and glory. At the baptism of Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, from heaven God spoke, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." When Jesus was baptized, it was a surrender of his will to the Father's will. It was a public testimony. I've come to die for the sinner. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. I'm willing to take death and to take judgment so that sinners can take forgiveness and grace from God. And God in heaven declared, "This is my Son in whom I am pleased." When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he had taken Peter, James, and John with him to the top of that mountain. And he appeared there, and his glory shined forth. And Moses and Elijah appeared, and Peter, and them witnessing the discussion that was going on, and Peter, overwhelmed, he said, "Oh Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let me just build us some tents and some places. We'll just hold up here with you and Moses and Elijah here on the mountain." And at that time, the cloud of the glory of God appeared. And when it all was done and said, no one was left but Jesus. And Peter and James and John was looking. And God from heaven spoke. And he said this, as recorded in Luke 9, verse 35. "There came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" In other words, there's no need to hear Moses or Elijah or any other man. If you want salvation, if you want grace, if you want forgiveness, if you want the kingdom of God, there's only one person you can listen to and hear and find that. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this morning I want to declare to you that when the earth shook and the stone was rolled away, and Jesus got up out of the grave on Easter Sunday morning, God in heaven declared once again, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." I know it's not politically correct. I know it's judgmental. God be accused of being judgmental for saying it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's no need to hear Muhammad. There's no need to hear Confucius. There's no need to hear Buddha. There's no need to hear Joe Smith or Charles Russell or any other would-be prophet that claims the way to God in heaven. By the way, you can't hear them. They're dead in the grave. There are many today who say they know a way to God and have a way to God, and they're on their way to the grave. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the one person you can hear and the one person that can save your soul and transform your life is the Lord Jesus Christ, who got up out of the grave on Easter Sunday morning. He's the Son of God. The resurrection exalts Christ. And I'll plead with you this morning, hear him, because his message is the message that saves sinners. But I want you to see the second witness of the resurrection of Christ this morning. It not only exalts Christ, but the resurrection explains the cross. Paul said it was according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The second witness of the resurrection, it explains the cross. We see this great truth in the contrast between the disciples, their confusion before the cross, and their conviction after the cross. It was the resurrection of Christ that made the difference. It was the resurrection of Christ that explained the cross to them. You see, they were confused before the cross. Jesus had told them, he said, "Guys, we're on our way to Jerusalem. They're going to hang me up. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be dead, but hey, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And they were confused. That didn't make sense to them. They'd followed Jesus for 3 years. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Why in the world would anyone treat him as a criminal and hang him on a cross and kill him and bury him? That didn't make sense to them. Their hearts were troubled. They had many questions. In John 14, Jesus tried to comfort them. And he shared with them, I'm on the way to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place and I'm going to come for you again. And Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And when Jesus rose again from the grave in resurrection power, they knew exactly what he meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, after the cross, after the resurrection, they were convicted. They had conviction. They knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Peter would stand up, having witnessed the resurrected Christ, having met with him over 40 days and seeing him ascend into heaven, having prayed with others for 10 days, awaiting the Spirit of God and the coming of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. Peter would stand up and he would preach that this Jesus whom you rejected, whom you crucified, it was all the plan and will of God. He was dying on the cross for sinners. He was giving His life as a sacrifice for sinners. And He rose again declaring that He is the Son of God. And everyone that was listening, their hearts were pricked. And they began to cry out, what must we do? And Peter declared this in Acts 2 verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. His resurrection from the dead, it had explained the cross to them. They understood it. And so Paul, as he's writing in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:17, he says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, the resurrection of Christ, it declared Him to be the Son of God with power. It explained the cross. Because on the cross, He as our substitute was taking our place. As our sacrifice, He was laying His life down as a sacrifice. The only pure, sinless, spotless Lamb of God that could take our place and provide forgiveness of our sin. And when He rose again from the grave, it declared, He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior of sinners. Folks, I want you to notice with me the third witness of the resurrection. It not only exalts Christ, it not only explains the cross, but it also ensures us that Christ is coming again. Oh, what a glorious witness of the resurrection. That just as He came the first time as a suffering servant to die for our sins, He's coming again as sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. The fact that He came forth from the grave, that He ascended and sat down at the right hand of God, it is assurance to us today that He's coming again. In fact, when the disciples were there on the mountain and Jesus began to rise, and they watched Him ascend into heaven in the clouds, as they were standing there gazing, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 verse 11 that angels appeared, and this is what they said. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. The resurrection of Christ, it ensures that just as Jesus went back to heaven to sit down at the Father's right hand, He's also going to get up off of that throne one day and He's coming back to this earth. Now folks, that means two different things to two groups of people this morning. First of all, to us as saints, as Christians, that's comfort. That's encouragement. Man, we can comfort one another with that truth. In fact, that's what Jesus told them in John 14, 1 through 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but with all that's going on in this world today, with all that's going on in our lives, even in our community, among family and friends and loved ones, I don't know about you, but I'm just kind of comforted today to know this, that one day Gabriel's going to give a toot and I'm going to scoot. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be caught up to glory to be with heaven and the Lord forever. In fact, that's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen now. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, his coming again, it's comfort for the saints. But it's condemnation for the sinners. It means something entirely different for those who've never heard and heeded the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. When he comes again, he's coming to judge the world of sinners. And we'll stand before him, those who've never trusted in Christ. Paul declared to the philosophers of Athens that God had appointed a man to judge the world, to judge the sinners of the world. And he had assured us who that man was by his resurrection from the dead. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, listen what Paul said. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. In other words, Paul said, God has appointed this world of sinners will be judged. And he's also appointed who's going to do it? His Son, who rose again from the grave. In resurrection power and glory. We've been studying through Revelation on Sunday night. We're getting into the part of the book where we're seeing the things that shall come hereafter. And when we get to chapter 19, we're going to see Jesus coming with his saints upon this world to do exactly what Paul was talking about here, to bring judgment to the Antichrist and the kingdoms of the world, and sinners who've rejected the gospel will be cast forever into the lake of fire. Jesus Christ is coming again. It means comfort for saints, but it means condemnation for those who've never repented and trusted in Christ. Folks, this morning, that's the threefold witness of the resurrection. It exalts Christ, it explains the cross, and it ensures that Christ is coming again. We do have a faith. We do have a faith that's based on fact. We do have a message to preach that's true and trusted and transforming. We do have forgiveness because Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross in our place, took the judgment of God and wrath of God for our sins so that God might justly deal with sin, but also justly forgive and pardon sinners. That's what Paul goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 26. He was just and the justifier. Jesus, God didn't just sweep sin under the rug and say, okay, y'all come on into heaven. If he did that, he wouldn't be a holy God. He dealt with our sin in Christ. He judged it. Jesus took our place so that we'd not be judged, so that we might be pardoned. Folks, we do have hope today. We do have a future today if we've heeded the message and the witness of the resurrection. But for those here this morning who've never repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, you're facing a Christless eternity. And when Christ comes, that means your opportunity's up. But this morning, today is the day of salvation. This morning, we're here to celebrate a risen Savior. This morning, the day of grace is still open to you. The door of salvation is still beckoning for you to come and receive. Come to Christ this morning. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. The Bible puts all of us on the same level. We're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. And it's at the foot of the cross that He also can put us on the same level for eternity if we humble ourselves in repentance and saving faith. This morning, wouldn't you want to come to Christ? Be forgiven. It's a true message. It's a trusted message. And I guarantee you this, it'll transform your life now as you make your way towards heaven and eternity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, as we enter into the most important time of this worship service, the time in which those who've heard the Word of God have the opportunity to respond, our prayer is that some will respond in repentance and saving faith, that we all will be encouraged and strengthened in our faith who are in Christ to be a greater witness for You. Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.